This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and makes you think. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd be happy to take comments on the program or prayer requests. And that website has a lot of information on it that you might find helpful, including a weekly meditation that usually has been coming out in midweek. Now, today, I want to continue looking at the Marys of the New Testament. We've been looking at prominent people in the Bible, and we went through the Bible once, catching mostly, not completely, but mostly men. And I thought it was important that we begin to look at women. And as I've begun to look at the women, particularly in the New Testament, it seems to me that devotion to the Lord is seen in the women in some ways where we don't see it in the men. Now, I realize that Peter was devoted to the Lord and John was devoted to the Lord. John was the one who constantly referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So I've got to be careful as to what I say. But the women were often doing things for the Lord and ministering to him in a more silent way than the men were. And we've looked at Mary of Bethany, or we've looked at Mary Magdalene, and we noted how that she was the first one to whom the Lord appeared after he had been raised from the dead. And she didn't recognize him until she heard her name, Mary. She thought he was the gardener. She thought they had stolen away the Lord. She had it made up in her mind that when the tomb was empty, that she just couldn't grasp the fact that the Lord had said he'd be raised from the dead, and so she assumed the body had been stolen away. But in her devotion to wanting to give the Lord a proper burial and a proper anointing, she met the Lord and was the first one to see the Lord after he had been raised from the dead. Now, I want to look again at another Mary, Mary of Bethany. We have three Marys in the Bible that are particularly important. Actually, four, because Miriam in the Old Testament, the sister of Moses, was really a Mary. And then we have Mary, the mother of the Lord, and some people confuse her with these other Marys. They ought not to do that. They're three different Marys. And we have Mary Magdalene, and then we have Mary of Bethany. And it's interesting that when we look at Mary of Bethany, she anointed the Lord for his burial. And of these Marys, we know that she was one who was not at the cross. It appears that she anointed the Lord for his burial and then never went to the cross and saw what happened to him. Now, I don't know if that was because she loved him and didn't want to see that, or if it was just because she had confidence in what the Lord had said with regard to his death, burial, and resurrection. I really don't know, but I know that as near as I can sort it out, she never went to the cross after, but she did anoint the Lord for his burial. Let's read about that in Luke chapter 10. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And this apparently was the house of Martha and Mary. We call her Mary of Bethany, and Lazarus. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, that is, she approached the Lord and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And again, if we were to read in Mark chapter 14, it says, "And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. She broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. And then I think it's in that passage, I don't have it just in front of me, where we're told that wherever the gospel is preached, this that she has done will be told about her. And so she left a lasting legacy behind her in anointing the Lord. She was one who was, of course, disappointed when the Lord did not come and raise her or heal her brother Lazarus. Lazarus was the Lord's friend. And apparently Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had a home that the Lord was frequently able to use for overnight stays when he was in the area of Jerusalem. This was out east on the Mount of Olives, or near the Mount of Olives, at Bethany. And so these were close friends of his. But if you remember in John chapter 11, how that the Lazarus was sick, and that the sisters, Martha and Mary, sent for the Lord and wanted him to come and heal him. But the Lord didn't come right away. And you can go back and read it at your leisure. And when he did come, they all said, Martha and Mary and the Jews, that if he had been here, he could have healed Lazarus. He wouldn't have died. And they didn't realize that the Lord was going to do something greater than heal him. And I often think about that, because Mary was apparently quite upset with the Lord at that point, but she did get a chance to witness the resurrection of Lazarus. And so I don't know if that spoke to her, and that's why she anointed the Lord in John chapter 11, and then in John chapter 12, we read about her being the one who had anointed the Lord. I don't know if that's why she did that and then did not go to the cross, realizing that the Lord did have the ability to be raised from the dead. But she was discouraged. And even though she was a devoted follower of the Lord, just like us, and I've mentioned this before, we all have it in our minds as to what the Lord can do and what he can't do. And we really would like to tell the Lord how to do his work and how to do his business. So she was disappointed and upset when Lazarus was not raised from the dead, or was not healed, but she got a chance to see him do something greater when he was raised from the dead. So this is a very important thing, but the thing that I want to emphasize this morning is how often we're like Martha, and we run around doing when in fact we should be sitting and communing with the Lord. You'll notice that Mary Magdalene had the Lord appear to her as she lingered at an empty tomb. She wanted to find the body. She was confused too, but she lingered after the others had left in John chapter 20. And it's that lingering that we don't do much of in our day. I know I myself feel like I'm wasting my time if I'm not constantly doing something, if I don't have some project that I'm supposed to be working on, if I'm not holding some meetings, writing some meditations, doing a radio program, if I'm just sitting and reading and thinking about what the Lord has done for me, I have a tendency to feel like I'm wasting my time. And obviously when Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, Martha was a true servant of the Lord. She loved him, I believe, as much as Mary did. But nevertheless, she was busy. And she thought Mary ought to be busy too. And we teach our children that, don't we? We teach them that if they are going to amount to something in life, they've got to get busy. And there's a lot of scriptures in the Proverbs that indicate that laziness is not appropriate, that laziness will cause us to be poor, and that we need to get out of bed and get busy when it comes to the responsibilities of life. But there needs to be time when we can sit and relax and just choose that good part that Mary had chosen when she sat at the feet of the Lord and just commune with him, listen to him. I don't know if she was asking him questions. It doesn't appear that that was the case, but obviously there was conversation taking place and she was a part of it. And so she enjoyed the presence of the Lord. And I hope that we're doing that as well. I don't think we can really come to know the Lord in the sense of being saved unless we have spent some time alone with the Lord. It's interesting that many people do come to know the Lord in crowds and in busy times. But for the most part, most of us who tell our testimonies as to how we came to know the Lord, there's a point at which we spent a time alone and recognized that we were dead in trespasses and sins, that we needed to be saved. We couldn't save ourselves. And in communing about that, we realized and confessed that we were helpless to save ourselves. We're just lost sheep on the way to a sinner's hell. And we found out when we really got to an end of ourselves and an end to our doing that Christ had done it all. I know for me that was something I knew all my life, that Christ had died for sinners, that Christ had finished the work. But when I came to that point where I wasn't sure that I personally knew what it meant to be saved, and when I finally got to that point where I didn't think I'd ever understand what Christians were saying when they said they were saved, it was at that point I found out that what Christ had done 2,000 years ago was what's sufficient to save me today. And I rested on that. Christ had died for me. And so Mary was communing with the Lord, and she was enjoying his presence. And the Lord said, when Martha criticized her, one thing is needful, and she has chosen that good part. And so it's interesting, is it not, that oftentimes we miss great blessing by being just too busy with the things that we're trying to do for the Lord. But anyway, she anointed the Lord. We find out that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And that was where we read that this was the home where Mary had anointed him. And so it was an alabaster box of ointment that she did use to anoint the Lord. And apparently, and I would guess, that it might have been, I don't know if it was the same incident or if it was a different incident where she anointed the Lord. In other words, I don't know if that's when she was sitting at the Lord's feet or if it was another incident. But nevertheless, she anointed him with something that was worth 300 days' wages, 300 denarii, 300 pence, 300 days' wages. She had saved that much, and in anointing the Lord, she was, in a sense, wasting the value of that. And of course, Judas had a problem with that, but so did all the other disciples have a problem with that. And I'm going to just caution you right here that if you're going to do something for the Lord, it's going to be costly. And there are going to be those who are going to criticize you for it. Some people give their lives to the service of the Lord when they could have been rich. Instead, they become really poor, relying on the Lord to provide for them. And sometimes the Lord can't get people to do what they're supposed to do to provide for them. And many people who have given up livelihoods and given up the comforts of home have been criticized by their own families for doing that. But the Lord would never criticize somebody for actually wasting the things that they could have had and used for themselves on the Lord himself. Devotion to the Lord, a worshiping the Lord, is often seen as a waste by even Christians who really are worldly and don't understand the devotion of somebody like Mary. I hope that's how devoted you are today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, and pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.